Can you believe it's our last session? As we wrap up this afternoon, let's review just a little bit. We've talked about areas in our hearts that need to be rooted out, those weeds of discontentment, grumbling, murmuring. We want to repent of those. And these things are going to change through different seasons of life that you go through. You're going to find yourself being discontent over different issues as you grow. We've talked about going to school so that we can learn to cultivate a contented heart like the Apostle Paul did and our Lord Jesus did. In this last session, we want to look at the fruit of contentment. As you learn to grow in this area of contentment, what is the fruit or the result in your life? Well, that's going to be thankfulness. Thankfulness is the outward expression of a contented heart. So we're taking contentment one step further. We want to learn how to actively give thanks in all things. Now, we're getting to that time of year where some people start thinking about giving thanks as they prepare for Thanksgiving. But in reality, for the person who doesn't know the Lord, the focus on Thanksgiving Day will probably be football, gluttony — that's the acceptable sin, isn't it? — and shopping on Black Friday. How many of you like to get up early and shop on Black Friday? Anybody? Oh, yes. I know there are great deals out there, but you just get to the point where sleep is so precious. You just want to shop later in the day. And who is it that people thank apart from Christ? They think they're thanking Mother Nature, but many people in reality don't take the time to stop and thank a good God on Thanksgiving or any other day. As believers, we want to be known as being grateful women each and every day, not just at Thanksgiving. And giving thanks is a very distinctive trademark of being a Christian woman. It's very attractive to the world. It's a Christ-like quality. This is something I saw modeled in my own dear mother-in-law, who was very much a Naomi in my life. Now, she never sat me down and did a Bible study on how to be thankful. She was always verbally thanking God for everything in her life, for the blessings that came, for the trials that came. And I especially remember her being thankful when she was losing her dear husband of 50 years to Lou Gehrig's disease, which is a very difficult disease. She was thankful and expressed her thanks because he was able to die at home. Now she's near the end of her life with Alzheimer's and a heart that barely functions, and I still hear thankfulness coming out from her lips. She's been such a model to me. And if you have ever visited elderly in the nursing homes, you probably see two kinds of people that stand out. Those that seem to have a sense of thankfulness, and many that are bitter and ungrateful. And it really shows in their countenances. That ungrateful spirit can also make us unattractive, because what we are earlier in life, what we've developed and cultivated, is going to show up later at the end of our life. So we want to invest now and become the kind of women we want to be, ready to meet the Lord at the end of our life. Well, you and I know that we live in a very ungrateful society. Did you know that 39% of the world's wealth lies in the United States of America? 39% of the world's wealth. But as a nation, we are known for much whining and complaining, even about small things. You hear it all the time, wherever you go. And as we enter an election season, we're going to hear lots of whining and complaining. We want to be thankful, and we are obviously glad when the blessings come. But we want to thank God and develop that discipline of being thankful even when the trials come. If we fail to give thanks, we're going to have a weak testimony, and it can even lead to further sin as our thinking spirals down. Henry Ward Beecher said that pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. Nancy Lee DeMoss is a favorite author of mine. Do any of y'all listen to Revive Our Hearts radio? Good for you. I'm so excited for her and this new season God's bringing in her life. And I love to listen to her and read her books. Pretty much any book by Nancy is good. And one of my favorite books she's written, called Choosing Gratitude, she tells this story. And isn't this how we think? Two friends ran into each other at a store one day. One of the men was in a foul, depressed mood. He could not even smile. His friend said, "What's the trouble, buddy?" "Oh, let me tell you. My uncle died 3 weeks ago and left me $40,000. "Really?" said his friend. "Yeah, then the week after that, a cousin I hardly knew died and left me $85,000. Last week, a great aunt passed and left me $250,000. His friend says, "You've got to be kidding me. Why do you have the long face then?" "This week, nothing." We think we deserve more than what we have, so we need to be careful. Unthankfulness is going to lead us to become bitter old women. It'll cause us to be angry and full of covetousness. A grateful person, though, knows her unworthiness before God. We know we have more than we deserve. We know what we deserved was God's wrath, but he gave us eternal life. Let's look at an example of someone in Scripture who took the time to thank the Lord. If you'll turn to Luke 17. Luke 17, I'll be starting at verse 11. And of course, this passage is focused on the Lord, his deity, his healing power, but there's also a sub-theme of thankfulness. And let me read verses 11 through 17. It came to pass, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, he met 10 men that were lepers who stood far off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Jesus answered, said, "Were there not 10 that cleansed? Where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God except this one stranger." And Jesus told him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." I'm sure all of the men that were healed that day were thankful in their hearts. But only one of the group took the time to actually go back to Jesus and verbally express thanks. The other men were so focused on their healing, but this one man was focused on the healer, and he wanted to take the time to thank the Lord. I know all of us want to be characterized as thankful Christian women, and thankfulness is going to take this contentment that you're learning one step further, from the state of our hearts now to verbally expressing, both to the Lord and to other people, your thanksgiving. We want to thank Jesus every moment, every day of our lives. And if you're like me, there are many times I pray, I have a prayer list. The Lord answers, and I can be very slow in returning to him to thank him for answering that. So I'm trying to make that time interval shorter between the answered prayer I see and immediately remembering to thank God for that. We want to be purposeful in learning to be thankful. This is going to offer hope to other people and attract them to our good God. How can we have an effective witness to non-Christians if they hear unthankful words coming out of our mouth? Grateful people will be God-focused and people-focused. We won't be too preoccupied with ourselves. Now, here's an interesting thing as we look at the meaning of the word thanks. The words thanks and grace come from the same Greek word charis. Thanks and grace. We see the root word of charitable is charis. So charis means grace on the part of the giver, that's our God, and it means thanks on the part of the receiver of that grace. It's like a cycle that never ends. God's grace causes us to give thanks. We get the word Eucharist or communion from this word charis. And I'm sure you remember to always give thanks on those special Sundays when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Gratitude is just the normal response to all of God's grace He pours out into our life. And the writer of Hebrews encouraged the believers to continually offer a sacrifice of thanks in Hebrews 13:15 as they respond to God's grace. Grace causes our hearts to overflow with thanksgiving. And 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, "All things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." So the next time you give thanks, remember how closely it's related to all of God's grace shown in your life. Another Nancy Lee DeMoss story. In her book, Choosing Gratitude, see if you can think who I'm talking about as I share about this grateful woman. She says, by today's standard, she should have been unhappy. Her father died when she was young, leaving her to be raised by her mother and her grandmother. And as a result of a doctor's careless error, when she was only 6 weeks old, she was afflicted with lifelong blindness. The tragic and traumatic experiences of this woman's childhood years would have given most people enough grounds for a lifetime of self-pity and bitterness. But in her autobiography, this lady says, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. I thank Him for this dispensation." The doctor who destroyed her sight never forgave himself, and he moved away from the area. But there was no room in this woman's heart for resentment. She said, "If I could meet that doctor now, I would say thank you, over and over again for making me blind." For over a century, the church, we have reaped the rich benefits of this woman's thankful heart. She wrote over 8,000 songs while blind. Some of my favorite: "To God Be the Glory, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, Blessed Assurance." Do you know which lady I'm speaking? Fanny Crosby. What a thankful woman in the midst of what could have been a very ungrateful heart. Now, because Paul learned contentment, he was thankful in all circumstances. He had that constant frame of mind we've been talking about. He didn't waver. And as you reread the book of Philippians, you'll notice it's just a thank you letter. Thanks to God and thanks to the believers who were supporting him. He was in prison, and I'm not sure how thankful I would be if I was in prison. Maybe that day is coming for us. Paul learned to yield all his rights to Christ, and his heart was overflowing with gratitude. As he says, "I have all and abound. I am full." He was thankful with his words because his heart had learned contentment. And even the Lord Jesus Christ, our greatest example, gave thanks to the Father before going to the cross, the greatest trial of his life. When we remember the cross, what does it remind us? It reminds us that Christ took the place of what we deserved, an eternity in hell. If you can find nothing else to thank God for, thank Him for going to the cross. There's an old quote, I don't know who said this, but it's so true. For the non-Christian, this earth is the only heaven they'll ever experience. For the believer, this earth is the only hell we will ever experience. Cause for great thanksgiving. Commentator Matthew Henry said, "Thanksgiving is a proper answer to dark and disquieting thoughts. It may be an effectual means to silence them. Songs of praise are sovereign cordials to drooping souls and will help to cure melancholy. When we have no other answer to the suggestions of grief and fear, we may have recourse to say, 'I thank thee, O Father.'" And another preacher said that gratitude can be a vaccine that can prevent the invasion of a disgruntled attitude. As antitoxins prevent a disastrous effect of poison and disease, thanksgiving destroys the poison of fault-finding and grumbling. When trouble has smitten us, a spirit of thanksgiving is a soothing antiseptic. So if you have a contented heart, it's going to be proven with grateful speech, as the words reflect our heart. If you have a discontented heart, you're going to find yourself more with murmuring and complaining words. And when you think about the children of Israel and the legacy they left for us, do you tend to think good, positive things about the children of Israel, or more negative when you consider their grumbling and complaining? And I know we can be hard on them, thinking we would not react the same way, but we can fail and forget to give thanks also. Matthew Henry was once robbed, and I love this outlook he wrote for us. As he thought about the incident of being robbed, he said, "Let me be thankful. First, I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. And in third, although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." I love that perspective. Another hero of mine is missionary to the American Indians, David Brainerd. He only lived into his 20s. He had a very challenging life with many physical diseases, but he was thankful and he counted his blessings. In his biography, once he developed a toothache with a very high fever and tremendous pain. Yet he thanked God that the distress fell upon him while he was visiting friends and not alone in the wilderness. And in another illness, he penned, "Blessed be the Lord, I am not exposed in the open air. I have a house and many comforts to support me. And through many weeks of solitude, forging through swamps, on rocky soil and through dark nights with no human fellowship," he said, "what reason for thankfulness I have on account of this retirement." He knew that that trial of loneliness contributed to a closer walk with the Lord. And we've all known unthankful people, ungrateful people, or maybe you see yourself in this category and you want to become more grateful. This attitude can spread in our homes if we are ungrateful and be a poison. So we want to practice thanksgiving as we learn contentment. We need to communicate with words our gratefulness. I know there are many times I might think thankful thoughts or I'll thank the Lord for something, but when it comes to people, I may not verbally tell them how grateful I am for their role in my life. Ephesians 5:20 reminds us to give thanks always for all things. And you can see how closely related a grateful heart is to recognizing and accepting God's sovereignty in our lives. We know that everything that comes into our life is from His providential care. Thankfulness is required if we want to serve the Lord effectively. Let me read a short passage from John MacArthur's book, Truth for Today. He says, "A thankful heart is essential for true spiritual service. If you're trying to serve the Lord without gratitude in your heart for what He's done, you are serving in the flesh with wrong motives. One who's thankful realizes God has a cause for everything that happens. One who serves externally, legalistically, ritualistically, will not find many things to be thankful for in this life because he's not grateful for all the things God has done for him." So thankfulness is so important as we serve the Lord. And I think what tends to come easiest for us is to be thankful for the external, tangible blessings that we see God provide for us. Puritan pastor Jonathan Edwards calls these the secondary blessings of life. We usually remember to thank God for our health, for our home, for our family, children, husband, our job, the freedoms we still enjoy, a warm bed, coffee. We appreciate all the good gifts that God gives us children. But Edwards says if people only love God for what He gives them, we're really starting our affections at the wrong end. Jesus says that even sometimes pagans can give thanks when everything's are going well. This gratitude does not come naturally when things are going badly. So Edwards calls the most important kind of thankfulness we should have, the primary form, is gracious gratitude. What kind of gratitude does this look like? This is thanking God for who He is, His character, His goodness, His love, power, mercy, justice, all His attributes. This is where our hearts need to begin to thank God, relishing in God for who He is. And this is the kind of gratitude that can grow as we're stretched in those hard seasons of life. We can see this in the psalmist's praise through difficult circumstances and in the mind of Job, who said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him." This gracious gratitude, or this primary thankfulness, is relational. It has to do with seeing God as our Heavenly Father and just loving Him for who He is. And then secondly, we can thank Him for His works in our life, His gifts to us. So always relish and give thanks to God for who He is as you come to know Him better as you study His Word. One of my favorite books of the Bible is Colossians. And Paul expresses so much of thanksgiving in Colossians. Just listen to some of these verses. Colossians 1:3, we, speaking about Paul and Timothy, give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying for you. Colossians 1:12, give thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Colossians 2:7, we are rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called, and be thankful. Same chapter, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And lastly, Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. So many reminders from our beloved Paul, who learned contentment and then practiced thanksgiving. Well, on your second point on your outline, we have a little in-house work to do here. I want you to take a moment and start thinking and listing any spiritual or material blessing you can think of that you've received from the Lord. On this very first point, I don't want you to mention people yet, but I want you to stop and think of something you can thank God for. If you can't think of anything, you can always thank God for salvation, His greatest gift. I want you to think about something you might be learning in God's Word, or something He has provided for you and your family. Something that maybe you've forgotten to thank Him for. Oswald Chambers says, the thing that awakens the deepest well of gratitude in a human being is that God has forgiven sin. So just take a quick moment, write down one or two thoughts of something you want to be sure to thank God for. Not a particular person yet, we'll get to that, but some kind of blessing, a spiritual truth you've learned, an answer to prayer, or a material blessing He's provided for you. Now, let's move on to the next list. You could add on to this later. Now I want you to start thinking of people in your life. People you can thank God for, and maybe to go back to that person that you have not thanked for their role in your life. It could be a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend, a coworker, a boss, your pastor, a teacher. It could be your pastor's wife or a neighbor. Someone maybe you've taken for granted that God has used in your life. You want to thank the Lord for them, and you want to thank them. Think of a person or two you could thank. When you get home, you can thank this person verbally, or even better yet, through a note or a card in the mail. It's such a thrill to get real mail in the mail. And someone will be so blessed to get a letter of thanksgiving as you thank them for how God has used them in your life. And try to be specific and tell them how they've been a help to you. This is one of your homework assignments. And now probably the hardest, think back in this past year in your life. What is a trial the Lord has allowed that maybe you haven't thanked Him for, or you want to thank Him again for allowing it? Think of a trial, a difficult time. It's often easy to thank Him for His presence and grace in the trial, but we also want to thank Him for the trial itself, as we talked about His sovereignty. Your assignment for this will be to go home and thank Him for this trial and to write down what He taught you through it. Philippians 3:8 reminds us that Christ walks with us in a deeper and a special intimacy as we go through trials. He is there with us. After my second son was born, I fell into a very deep depression. I know that there are different views on postpartum depression in the church. All I know is he was born 2.5 months early, and I immediately went into a dark depression that lasted for about 9 months. The Lord used that in my life. I still don't fully understand it, but there was one thing He really taught me and helped me through that depression. He taught me to develop the practice of gratitude and thankfulness. Because when you are depressed, every thought you have in your mind is negative all the time. And it takes tremendous grace from God and discipline to change that kind of thinking to gratitude. So God used that depression and helped me to learn to become more thankful. And I still have a long way to go. But thankfulness was the lesson I needed to learn, even to thank Him for that depression. Well, as you read the Bible, look for specific areas that we are to thank God for. And we're going to look at some of these in our third section. You can take some notes. These are just a sampling of some things Scripture talks about on how we can thank God. First, we can be grateful that He is a personal God. We can thank Him that He's a personal God and we can know Him. No other religion can say this. Every other religion is based on law and performance. But we have a God who's personal and who knows us. Psalm 118 verse 28 says, "You are my God and I will praise you. You are my God and I will exalt you." What a blessing that we can intimately know the true God. Secondly, we can thank God for His Word. Aren't you grateful that God chose to reveal His Word to us? Psalm 138 verse 2 says, "I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. For your loving kindness and your truth, you have magnified your Word above all your name." To know that we can have the mind of Christ is a pretty awesome thought as we read Scripture. So thank Him for the Bible. Thank Him for the Scriptures. And then next, we can thank God for the joy of sharing in His inheritance. Thank God for the joy we have that we will share in God's inheritance. Colossians 1:12 says, "Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." No matter what's going on this side of heaven, we have tremendous hope as we consider our inheritance. Together, all of us are going to be worshiping our Lord, and we can thank Him for that now. Next, we can thank God when we see people accept the gospel. This was Paul's passion, seeing people respond in faith and in repentance to the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this reason, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as truth, the word of God which effectively works in you who believe." Give thanks when you see people respond to the gospel. God does the work, but we have the privilege to be a part in planting those seeds of truth. Next, give thanks for your food and your temporal blessings. I think we all usually remember to do this, Mark 8:6 says, Jesus set the example for us as he gave thanks for the 7 loaves and the few fish. Thank God for everything. I have a friend who just thanks God for everything. All throughout her day, she's verbally thanking God. And the next, we can thank God for the grace he gives believers. We've talked a lot about grace today. Thank God for his grace. 1 Corinthians 1:4, Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Thank him for his grace. Where would we be without grace? You can thank him for his wonderful deeds. His wonderful deeds. In Psalm 9:1, David says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all of your marvelous works. David had a great thankfulness for all of God's deeds. And we can thank God for his holy and righteous name. Thank him for his holy and righteous name, which just reflects his character. Psalm 30, verse 4, give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. And one last example, you will find many more in your own study of Scripture. Thank God for his steadfast love. God's love is not conditional, as we sometimes are. God is always for us. Psalm 106, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. So go on that hunt in your own Bible time and see what you can thank God for as you read and study Scripture. And as I close this last section on gratitude, I found a really good quote on this topic by Ellen Vaughn. And she relates gratitude to contentment that we've talked about. She says, gratitude unleashes the freedom to live content in the moment rather than being anxious about the future or regretting the past. Gratitude unleashes the freedom to live content in the moment rather than being anxious about the future or regretting the past. Remember those what-if thoughts, the if-only thoughts? If you find yourself discontent, start giving thanks, and God can use that to change your heart. So there's a close relation between a contented heart and its fruit of gratitude. A man by the name of Russell Kelfer wrote a pledge. He was a Bible teacher. And he talks about this pledge he made before God with a grateful spirit. He said, having been born into the kingdom of God, I do hereby acknowledge that God purchased my life, and that included all the rights and control of my life for all eternity. I further acknowledge he's not guaranteed me to be free from pain or to have success or prosperity. He has not guaranteed me perfect health. He's not guaranteed me perfect parents. He's not guaranteed me perfect children. He has not guaranteed me the absence of those pressures, trials, misunderstandings, and persecution. But what he has promised me is eternal life. What he has promised me is joy, love, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, self-control. He has given me all of himself in exchange for the rights to my life. Therefore, I acknowledge this day the relinquishment of all my rights and expectations, and I humbly ask him by his grace to replace these with a grateful spirit for whatever in his wisdom he deems to allow for my life. So let's review. We've covered a lot, and you're probably swimming with so many verses to consider. We've learned to recognize discontentment in our hearts. We realize that we have a responsibility to pull out those weeds, to confess, to repent quickly, and then to start cultivating a heart of contentment. We've looked at the beautiful examples of Jesus and the Apostle Paul. We've learned to abide in Jesus and to experience his grace. And because of all these treasures, we've learned that we can cultivate thankfulness, which is going to be the proof that you have a contented heart. So I want to ask you as we close, what is the Holy Spirit calling you to change? When you go home My prayer is that in the days and weeks ahead, you might take a yellow highlighter and just review these notes. There was a lot there, I know, a lot to take in one day. Highlight some areas that God has really spoken to your heart, some areas that you want to change to be more content, weeds of discontentment you want to repent of, the practice of thankfulness you want to become more clear in your life. And I can almost guarantee that when you leave a retreat, God is going to bring a test into your life. It may even be on the drive home. You're full of the Word. You've heard all of this about contentment and thanksgiving. Now we're accountable to practice it as we go back to reality. So the secret of cultivating contentment is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. Christ in me is the secret of contentment, not me in a different set of circumstances. Will you be content where God has placed you in life? And remember in your prayer life, as we close in prayer, to thank God even in advance for what He's going to do in the future. We are going to be giving thanks to our Lord for all eternity. So this is a good place to start practicing. Psalm 31, verse 12 says, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So when you go through a slump, and you find yourself unthankful, discontent, and you forget all that God has done, may I suggest reading and meditating on a beautiful psalm that'll lift your heart. I'd like for you to turn to that. Psalm 103. And you can just pray this psalm as we're going to do as we close. Another psalm of David. And we'll make this the prayer of our heart as you read along with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, and His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those that fear Him. His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, all you His angels that excel in strength, that do His commands, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless you the Lord, all you His host, you ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that You are not like us, that You are high and holy and merciful, and yet in Your humility You are content to relinquish Your Son on our behalf, as we see His humility in Philippians 2, willingly laying aside all the privileges of being God to also become man, to die on the cross for us. Lord, we have every reason to be contented women and to be grateful women, and yet we still sin. So I pray that You would help us in the days ahead, especially as we go back to minister to our families and in our churches, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods. to meditate on these truths, Lord, to find our contentment in you alone. And because of that, we will be able to give you thanks forever and ever. In our precious Savior's name, I pray. Amen.